1 Samuel chapter 7 this morning to begin with. While you're turning to it, would you take a moment to bow your head as we look to God for his anointing today? Thank you, Albrights. I don't know if I mentioned it. Thank you so much for that song. Beautifully done. Wonderful song. Good to see the whole crowd of the Albrights up here. Excellent. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your divine presence, God with us. Daniel in the lion's den, the Hebrew children, Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. On and on we could go with the scriptural explanations of God with us in the troubling and trying times of life. Father, I pray that you would anoint today in the preaching of your word. I pray that you would give us that which is needed today to speak to our hearts, to carry us into what is tomorrow. It's not of my own strength. I have none. I'm relying on you, and pray for your divine anointing this morning. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. The first Sunday of this year, the text was 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 12, and the last phrase of that verse, and I'm bookending, began with this year, and I'm closing this year with this particular text, because I believe that it means something. It is relevant to your life, it's relevant to my life, it's relevant to the existence of Wiseball Community Church in the past as well as in the future. Beginning of the year, I spent a lot of time. I read quite a lengthy passage here in this chapter. I'm only going to begin reading with verse number 9 this morning. If you have your Bible open, 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. They were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer. Called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued. They came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Or it could be said, till now the Lord has helped us. Another way of saying it would be, thus far the Lord has helped us. One translator says it this way, this marks the place where God helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. If we can end the year marking the calendar with Ebenezer, if we can end the year marking the calendar with Ebenezer, what all has happened in your life over the last year? Has there been testings and trials, valleys and storms, burdens and heartbreaks? But God has brought us, has brought me, has brought you safely through. God has brought us victory to this point. He has brought us to this point in victory. Now, if you can end the year with Ebenezer, then flipping the calendar to 2025 puts you in a pretty good position. Not braggingly, but it puts you in a pretty good position if you can end the year with Ebenezer. But a question comes to mind as we look at a new year. Personally, individually, as well as collectively, as a church body, a church family, endeavoring to continue on and to press on. And Lord willing, next year, the landscape to the west of us is going to be drastically different from what it is today. But the question comes up, where do we go from here? We close the year with Ebenezer. Where do we go from here? Well, the apostle said, I press forward. I press forward. I press on. I'm reaching forward. I'm not looking so far back. I'm looking forward. I want to see what is before me. I want to reach for the prize. I was recently reminded of a story of a man who at the end of the year wrote out a list of things that he thought that he could do in the new year that would help strengthen him in the Lord. Things to start doing and things to stop doing. And he signed his name at the bottom and he took it to church and laid it on the altar as a gift to God. Over the next few weeks, he became discouraged. It just didn't seem to be working for him. It was seemingly just, it wasn't happening the way that he thought it was going to happen. And so he went to his pastor and explained the situation, and the pastor suggested that he take the list back and get a new blank sheet of paper and sign his name at the bottom of that blank sheet and then give that to the Lord and say, fill in the blank sheet. Lord, you tell me what I need to do. You tell me the things that I need to pick up and start doing. You tell me the things that I need to lay down and stop doing. God has your surrender to do and to work according to His good pleasure. As Paul says in Philippians 2:13, when we give him the signed blank sheet, the surrender. Now that surrender takes us in a number of different ways. There's all sorts of things that God has planned for every one of us. Somebody said that the lower your valley, the bigger the story of God's glory will be in your life. Did you hear that? The lower your valley, the bigger the story of God's glory will be in your life. But you might say, Pastor, you haven't gone through the things that I'm facing. You really don't know what I'm dealing with in my circumstances or in my life. I know that. I'm relatively spoiled. But I still have the responsibility to tell you this morning, in vernacular that is more common to our age than perhaps King James Version, God's got this. God has this. Now, he's not saying that you need to explain it. Matter of fact, he doesn't want you to explain it. He's not saying that here's the blueprint or here's the schematic so that you can tell exactly how it's going to turn out. He's not saying that we must figure it all out before we take the step of faith. Somebody else said, whenever God speaks to his servants to accomplish his will, he does not give them the plan. whenever God speaks to his servants to accomplish his will, he does not give them the plan. You remember, go back into the Old Testament, you remember the man by the name of Moses? God was calling Moses to a great task, and Moses' first response was multiple responses of negativity. I can't because of this, I can't because of that, I can't because of some other thing. He had a whole list of things that disqualified him from being able to do it. Now, they were all superficial. You've heard the saying that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. You know, he doesn't ask us to figure it out. He simply asks us to walk by faith. I've been reminded, and it's been coming to me lately over the last few months, that he's not asking most of us to be an apologist. Now, there may be somebody here that God wants you to be an apologist. He wants you to be able to explain and to decipher and to bring it down to some real wonderful words and present the gospel and refute all kinds of claims that are negative and go about in that way. But God isn't calling most of us to be an apologist or even a lawyer to argue his case. He's only calling us to be a witness. What is a witness? A witness is somebody that has a personal experience, a personal encounter, something that they have held to for themselves, or they have received for themselves, that God is wanting that person to bear witness to. That's what he calls us to. That's what he calls all of us to, his witness. Did it ever occur to you? Now, I say it that way, not trying to belittle your thinking. But did it ever occur to you that might be the only reason you're facing what you're facing? To bear witness. That might be the only reason why your path leads through the fire or the furnace or the storm or the valley or even the lion's den, the hospital, into or through the life of another individual is to be his witness. Your witness. Ebenezer. Did you catch that? Ebenezer, I am a witness that hitherto God has helped me. Oh, but explain it. Do you remember that individual in the New Testament that was told to explain and to say who had touched him? And he said, I don't know anything about all that. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I see. He didn't even know who it was that touched him for a little while. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. He wants us to raise an Ebenezer as witness to those that are around us that whatever it is that I am going through, you see, God is wanting to speak into my life circumstances, your life circumstances. God is waiting for you to be his temple, fit for the master's use. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that I'm not my own. I've been bought with the price of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, because they belong to God. They belong to Christ. Second Thessalonians, Paul says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you.
Now listen. He probably won't speak into your circumstances the way you expect him to. Do I need to repeat that again? Did you catch that? He probably won't speak into your circumstances the way you expect him to. Like when I had the four-wheeler loaded up. I was ready to go hang a stand that to this day I still haven't got it hung. And it was in a good spot. It was in a very good spot. I was all loaded up, ready to go in September. When God called me on the phone and said, you need to make a trek to southeast of Chicago. Why? Why? But Lord, you don't... Lord... 400 or 250 miles of saying, but Lord. Lord, can't you see? It can't happen this way. Lord, please, no. 250 miles. And then 250 miles coming back, the Lord transformed my mind. Why? Well, it's a really simple explanation, really. You will kick yourself because you didn't think about it. The simple explanation is this. Found in Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You see, what we do, we try to dumb him down to our plans. We try to dumb him down to our blueprint or our schematic or our ideas so that his ways match our ways. His thoughts match our thoughts so that he answers our prayers the way we want them answered. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall, listen to what he said, it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. What that means in simple layman's terms is that sometimes we ask for growth, but he gives rain. Sometimes we ask for the beautiful, solid, majestic oak tree, but he sends an acorn. Now hear me. Listen. When he answers, but his answer is not in the package that we are expecting, will we miss it? Because we are too focused on our own way. I'm going to repeat it again. I know I'm being repetitious here. It sounds almost like kindergarten, but I think I want to get this. When he answers, but his answer is not in the package that we are expecting. I think it was my granddaughter. Was it Natalie? A few years ago, I gave her, a birthday present? And it was wrapped in a box. And she opened the box, and then there was another wrapped box. She opened the box, and there was another wrapped box. It got all the way down to a little bitty box. I don't remember what was in it. Do you? A knife. Wow, giving a little girl a knife. Country girl. I think there, by the time she got to the last box, I think she was, you know, let's just get rid of this. When he answers, but his answer is not in the package that we are expecting, will we miss it because we're too focused on our own ways? I referred to the man that Jesus spit on the ground and made mud with his saliva, and then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Lord. That'll make me look like an idiot. I look like an idiot with mud on my eyes. Well, then you might as well go wash. I don't know what all went through his mind, but the scripture says, so he went and washed and came back seeing. The package. It wasn't wrapped quite the way he thought, perhaps. What about Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5? He was told to go and dip 7 times in the muddy Jordan. He didn't like that, did he? He thought that was terrible. Fortunately, he had some people that convinced him that it was necessary for him to go. What is the package that you're looking for? Ebenezer closes out the year. The new year's flipping very soon, just a few more days. What's the new year hold? I think one of the biggest ways of missing the thoughts and the ways of God is by being so absorbed in our own personal little kingdom that we are blind to what God is doing in his kingdom. By putting people in our pathway to bump shoulders with and to rub elbows with. God's putting them there. Not just to test us to see if we're willing. No, it's not just simply to test us to see if we're willing, and then we've convinced ourselves that God really isn't calling me to do anything, but he was just testing me. Maybe we need to lay that aside a little bit and just say, God has given... Did I just tell you about my trip to Southeast Chicago? Maybe God's calling us to do something. Oh, but wait. Wait, the package. The package looks like it's too much time. It's too much energy. It's too much sacrifice. It's too much. When really he's calling me, he's calling you to get beyond the facade and speak Jesus into their lives. Speaking Jesus into their lives with time and action and energy and sacrifice. You see, the outside, some of you are remembering this, but I want you to take it again. Sometimes the outside looks good, but the inside is covered up with brokenness. And we don't know until we get close to their lives to be able to see and to hear and to feel the reality of that brokenness. There's a smile outside. There's a success outside. There's a nice facade that is presented. But here, when we get close and we hear the brokenness from within, God has placed them in our lives to bump elbows and to rub shoulders with them so that we can speak Jesus. Oh, yeah, it takes time. It takes miles. It takes a lot of things beyond human understanding or want. Ebenezer. The past to the present. Ebenezer. It's the hand That's what he's wanting us to do, is witness for him. Speak Jesus. God wants to speak into my circumstances. He wants to speak into your circumstances so that you and I can speak into their circumstances, so that we can speak Jesus into their lives. For the future, Ebenezer, for the past or the present, but for the future, what is he calling us to? The summation of it all is found in the words of a song. Susanna, if you could, make your way to the piano. Found in the words of a song, 486. I surrender all. I can usually preach over the babies. The problem might be in you listening over the babies. But we'll just put that in God's hands too. He knows what's best. Thank God for all of these kiddos. Twins and triplets. Blessings. Brother Paul Gray, would you dismiss us in prayer?